Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Love will keep us together. Let's just say, when we started this, now we've known this. We read the Bible through every year as a church. We're reading it again, and we see scripture after scripture after scripture about the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. But Nicole and I started doing research for this day, and just in the last 24 hours, I counted up 145 verses that we were looking at, trying to hone down which ones we were going to use. 145 verses all about the love of God. All about love. Not just the love of God, love for each other.
Yeah.
Relationships. And this is February, so we want to talk about love.
Yeah.
Shall we start with the scripture?
Yeah. Well, and I say, you know, next week we're going to focus on marriage, but we are focusing on the body of Christ. We are called to love one another and take care of one another and serve one another. So yeah, we're going to start with
who's going to be on next week.
Well, I'm going to host a little panel. And Drs. Michael and Kimberly Winters, who are overseeing our marriage ministry, are going to be on that panel. And Pastors John and Jocelyn Brockman are going to be on that panel.
Okay, I'm a little concerned. I know you guys are going to behave, but I'm not sure about John. John's a little unhinged.
And that's why they're on the panel. You know.
So you're going to get a little bit of both worlds.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, but today we're going to focus on the love of the body. You know, not all of us are married. Not all of us may have, family that live close to us. David and I have lived for years without, my immediate family near us. And what are you changing?
I changed this. The letters are bigger. I can see them better.
But we have each other. We have the body of Christ. Jesus died for the church, for the body of Christ, so that he would have a family. And so we are in the family of God. So we're going to start with 1 John chapter 4.
I get to read the first.
Okay, you read the first one.
I'm the man, so
okay,
I get to read.
Okay, I submit. Wives, submit yourself. I will submit.
Oh, the eyes are rolling. Shut up. I hear what you're saying on the inside. No, I'm totally teasing. We're going over this at home, and I started.
Okay, you go.
So I want to start because
yes.
That's the way we
go, baby.
Okay, we have a lot of scripture and a lot of reading, and we made this all up ourselves.
No, I want to say I'm not even gonna. A lot of this. How many have ever read The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren? I know years and years ago, I read this book when it first came out. And as we were preparing for today, I was reminded of, you know, he talks about, of course, the purpose, the reasons we were created. And one of those purposes is that we were formed for God's body, for the body of Christ. We were created to become, to be fitly joined together. And so I highly recommend The Purpose-Driven Life.
Yes. So we're going to do a lot of reading, so just go with us, all right? I don't even know. It's maybe we got an hour.
Wow.
Let's take it all.
You better bring it.
Let's take it all.
Okay.
Our text, 1 John, 4th chapter, starting with verse 7. How many of you remember the old song I used to sing when I was a kid? Beloved, let us love one another. He knows. Anybody?
I don't know.
Anybody
that
raise
one.
Your hand. For God is of, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Stephen knows it. And knoweth God, he that loveth God,
wow.
Knoweth not God, for God is love.
How many
beloved,
know?
let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay, we bored. We bored a lot of people with that little
yes,
song.
Yes, you bored me with that song, but I liked it. How many know? Love God.
Yeah.
Love people, love your neighbor as yourself, my brother, my sister. Everybody love somebody. Okay.
Oh, okay. Before we read the scripture.
We're never going to get it.
No, we are.
Started.
We are. I just have to say this. John was doing that. Hey, and it reminded me this morning I walked into Carson's room to wake him up to get ready for church. And
Carson is our 11-year-old son who
is 11.
So fun.
And loves rap music.
And special.
Loves rap music. We were driving home from Chick-fil-A yesterday, and there's this booming music right next to us, and it's so loud. I don't know how people can stand to listen to their car.
They're a lot younger than
so
you.
So I rolled the windows down because it's rap, and immediately Carson recognizes that it's bad rap and makes me roll the window up, but we can't tell Mom that happened. That was the secret. So this morning, I go to wake him up, and I just start making up a rap. It was horrible. He says, yo, Carson, it's time to go. And I don't know what it was. I was just making up words. And he says, he just opened up his eyes. He says, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just making up a rap. I know it's kind of stupid. He said, I like it.
Woo. Oh. Hey,
here we go. 1 John, 4th chapter, starting with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Mm. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. And then we're on to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Selah. So we're going to talk through three different points today of about the family of God. And so the first one is, Colin, if you can put it up there, or Vonda, I think you're running that today. We are created for God's family.
Everybody say that out loud. We are created for God's family.
The entire Bible is the story of God building a family who will love him, honor him, and reign with him forever. Because God is love, he treasures relationships. His very nature is relational, and he identifies himself in family terms, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Trinity is God's relationship to himself. It's the perfect pattern for relational harmony. God has always existed in loving relationship to himself, so he has never been lonely. He didn't need a family, but he desired one. So he devised a plan to create us, bring us into his family, and share with us all he has. When we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father. We become his children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family.
The moment we were spiritually born into God's family, you were given some astounding birthday gifts. The family name.
Family name.
The family likeness.
Wow.
Family privileges. Mm-hmm. Family access. Yeah. Intimate access. Yeah. And the family inheritance.
The family inheritance.
What does that inheritance include? First, we'll get to be with God forever. And that's not just someday. That's like right now. We get to be with God forever. That's one of the things. Yeah. Second, we will be completely changed to be like Christ. Yeah. Third, we will be free from all pain, death, and suffering. Fourth, we will be rewarded and reassigned positions of service. Fifth, we will get to share in Christ's glory. Those are our birthday gifts. When we were born in the kingdom,
wow,
all of that became our life.
Yeah. Because God is love, the most important lesson he wants us to learn on earth is how to love. It is in loving that we are most like him. So love is the foundation of every command he has given us. The whole law can be summed up in this one command: love others as you love yourself. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, Jesus said, they're asking him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love, the first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these.
Before you go to the next part. I had oral surgery last week, and so the stitches keep coming loose, and I'm like, I'm trying not to spit them out while I'm preaching. So
wow.
If something flies, it's a stitch, all right? I was having trouble singing.
Things you don't want to know.
Things you don't want to know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I've been singing through a sore mouth.
He has. Last Sunday we left and he was like, oh, I overdid it. Healing in Jesus' name.
Why does God insist that we give special love and attention to other believers?
Yeah.
Because God wants his family to be known for its love more than anything else.
Wow.
Jesus said our love for each other, not our doctrinal beliefs, our love, is our greatest witness to the world. He said in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
So here's the thing. Love cannot be learned in isolation. God wants us to be in regular, close fellowship with other believers so we can develop the skill of loving.
Say that one again. Say that.
God wants us to be in regular, close fellowship with other believers so we can develop the skill of loving. We actually have to be around people.
People that irritate us.
All my introverts go, oh, wow. We actually have to be around people. Irritating, imperfect, frustrating people.
Or happy people, hyper people. Oh, that's it. That's the irritating people, right?
Sometimes the hyper people irritate the chill people, right? But this is how we actually learn to love. So another reason God tells us to make love our top priority is that it is actually eternal. Love is eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse says, these three things continue forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Love leaves a legacy. At the end of our lives, we won't want to see the list of our accomplishments, but we'll want to be surrounded by those that we have loved and who have loved us.
We will be evaluated at the end on our love. Jesus said the way to love him is to love his family.
Wow.
Catch that. The way to love me is to love my family and care for their practical needs. Matthew 25, a lot of scripture today. 25, verse 31, starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you and come to visit and see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
I also want to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So our second point that we want to talk about today, and let's put that slide up, and we're going to say this together. We are called to belong, not just believe. Let's say it again.
Everybody together.
We are called to belong, not just believe. Even in the perfect, sinless environment of the Garden of Eden, God said it is not good for man to be alone. We are created for community, and none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits, isolated from other believers and deprived of fellowship. The Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, and held together, and will be caught up together. So guess what?
You're not on your own.
You're not on your own anymore. We are called to be the family of God.
We are called to belong.
Yeah.
Not just believe.
Yeah.
Every one of you, look at me. Yeah. You belong. While our relationship to Christ is personal, God never intends for it to be private. In God's family, we are connected to every other believer, and we will belong to each other for eternity.
Wow.
The church is a body, not a building. An organism, not an organization. For the organs of our bodies to fulfill their purpose, they must be connected to our body. We were each created for a specific role, but we'll miss this purpose in life if we're not attached to a living local church.
We discover our role in life through our relationships with others. Okay, so we're going to read.
Read that.
What the Apostle Paul, say that again, somebody said. We discover our role in life through our relationships with others. I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 21. I'm going to read the Message translation.
I love this.
And the Apostle Paul says, in this way we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach.
I know some of those.
Sometimes we want you to take over.
Sometimes I take over.
If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. Oh, I love this Message translation. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflamed. Be alert servants of the master.
Can you pause?
Yeah.
Can you pause? When they say second fiddle, they're not talking about a second chair in an orchestra. Second fiddle, practice preferring
one another.
Practice, sometimes I'll be transparent. I find myself at the airport trying to get, and I just take off and leave Nicole in the dust. And I'm like, I have to stop.
I'm used to it. I'm like, I ain't walking fast.
Wait a second. Hey, babe. but not just.
I'm back here.
How many men, we're like this, we get it. We just start walking and we're like, we got to get to where we're going. And you realize your beautiful wife has been, she's trying to catch up.
No, I don't try to catch up.
Now she's got a bad attitude.
I don't try to catch
up.
And, I'm having my own party back like several feet behind you walking. No, I love that.
But you learn just to allow someone else in the door. Or, anyway, let's keep going.
Serve somebody. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflamed. Be alert servants of the master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. I love this. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath.
Wait, that's for John. Yeah. No cursing under your breath.
Oh, love that. I love this. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Mm. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. He's got you. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good.
I love that.
Yeah.
Membership in the family of God isn't something to be ignored or trivialized. The church is God's agenda for the world.
Oh.
I want to say that again. The church is God's agenda for the world. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The King James we all know, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But some of us don't know what that word means. This translation says, the gates of hell will not conquer it. Yes. The church is indestructible and will exist for eternity. It will outlive the universe, and so will our role in it. The person who says, I don't need the church, is either arrogant or ignorant. The church is so significant that Jesus died on the cross for it.
Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. A church family identifies us as a genuine believer. Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. When we come together in love as a church family from different backgrounds, race, and social status, and Dwell Church is such a beautiful picture of that, it is a powerful witness to the world. You are not the body of Christ on your own. You need others to express that. Together, not separated, we are his body.
Say that again. Together.
Not separated.
Not separated. We are his body.
Yeah. You want to read that one?
Yes. A church family moves us out of self-centered isolation.
Oh, I love this right here.
The local church is the classroom for learning how to get along in God's family.
Wow.
I want to say that again. This is important. It's a lesson for me. I'm sure it must be a lesson for you. The local church is the classroom for learning how to get along in God's family.
Only in regular contact with ordinary, imperfect believers can we learn real fellowship and experience the New Testament truth of being connected and dependent on each other.
So you're in class. You come to this church, there are people that decided this wasn't for them, or they got hurt or offended and have already left in this first 18 months.
That's okay.
I don't like that. But I understand it happens. But this whole idea that, the thing is, we face conflict in the church because God wants us to learn how to settle conflict, not to get upset and leave because of it. Go ahead.
A church family helps us develop spiritual muscle. We will never grow to maturity just by attending worship services and being passive spectators. Only the participation in the full life of a local church builds spiritual muscle. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." It's easy to fool ourselves into thinking we are mature if there is no one to challenge us. Oh, how many know that real maturity shows up in relationships? Married folk, raising children. How many got some teenagers or young adults at home? Oh, my. Real maturity shows up in relationships. Over 50 times in the New...
I was looking around to make sure our kids were in the room.
Yeah, they're there. They got to deal with us, too, so, you know. do you want to take that?
Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase, one another or each other, is used. I love this. We are commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other,
wow,
greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other,
wow,
honor each other, bear each other's burdens, forgive each other, forgive each other, forgive each other, submit to each other, be devoted to each other. Can I just tell you, Dwell Church, I am devoted to you.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best, but I'm just 57. I thought eggplant yesterday was guacamole at a Greek restaurant.
Can we tell that story?
Well, I just saw this green stuff on there. I've never seen it.
No, we went to
before.
A Greek restaurant, Mediterranean food, David and I and our daughter, and we ordered this eggplant, pita bread with eggplant.
I didn't realize what it
and
was.
And he said, he was eating, he's like, "Oh, this is good. Is this guacamole?" I'm like, you do
they
know.
They laughed at me.
You do know
we're... Unmercifully, they laughed at me. It was green. It looked like guacamole. I'm sorry.
I'm like, we're at a Greek restaurant. They do not have avocados, guacamole at a Greek restaurant.
Where are we?
We're here.
I got distracted. These are our family responsibilities that God expects us to fulfill through a local fellowship. We need more than the Bible in order to grow. We need each other. We can't grow without each other.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We grow faster and stronger by learning from each other and being accountable to each other.
Yeah. The body of Christ needs each one of us. God has a unique role for each of us to play in his family. This is called your ministry. And God has gifted you for this assignment. Your local fellowship is the place God designed for you to discover, develop, and use your gifts. You may also have a wider ministry, but that is an addition to your service in a local body. God hasn't promised to build your ministry, but he has promised to build his church. As members of Christ's body, we are his hands, his feet, and his eyes, his heart. We each have a contribution to make.
A church family will help to keep us from falling away. Now, this is important. I want you to hear this part. None of us are exempt from temptation. Given the right situation, you and I are capable of any sin. God knows this, so he has assigned us the responsibility of keeping each other on track. Our relationship with each other is to paint us in a corner with one another. To keep us, to make us accountable to each other. To find strength. Two is better than one, and a threefold cord can't easily be broken. So let me keep moving around here.
Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, so watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes.
Mind your own business is not a Christian phrase.
Oh.
Mind your own business is not a Christian phrase.
Wow. We are called and commanded to be involved in each other's lives. James 5:19 tells us, if you know people, oh, I love this. If you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Being committed to a local church also provides the spiritual protection of godly leaders. God gives shepherd leaders the responsibility to guard, protect, defend, and care for the spiritual welfare of the flock. Satan loves detached believers. Isolated from God's family and unaccountable to spiritual leaders because he knows they are powerless against his tactics. The Christian life is more than just commitment to Christ. It includes a commitment to other Christians. We become a Christian by committing ourselves to Christ, but we become a member of the family of God by committing ourselves to a specific group of believers.
So let's do that. Let's just do that. We don't have a piece of paper that you sign and a group of things to make you a member, but you become a member of the body of Christ by committing yourself to someone else. Why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you and make a commitment to them? It was expensive, Leon said.
Activation, go.
Activate, do it. Find two or three people and commit to be in their life. Commit to be accountable
Jocelyn
to
Brockman,
each other.
I'm committed to be in your
commit.
Life.
Commit. Joshua
Cynthia Brockman, Fowler. I'm committed to being in your life. Winnie Urbano, I'm committed to being in your life. Miss Cheryl, I'm committed to being in your life. Anita, I'm committed to you. Whew. We are committed to you.
Leon. I'm not done. I'm still going. You can still go. Is there anybody else you want to commit to?
So good.
Where are we?
We're right here. Number three.
You want to read it?
Let's put the third slide up. I'll say it, and then when it comes up, slide number three. We are commanded to protect unity in the church.
Yeah.
I want us to all say that together. We are commanded to protect unity in the church. Unity in the church is so important that the New Testament gives more attention to it than either heaven or hell. The whole New Testament gives more time talking about unity than it does heaven or hell. God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with each other. Unity is the soul of fellowship. Destroy it and we rip the heart out of Christ's body. It is the essence, the core of how God intends for us to experience life together in the church. Our supreme model for unity is the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are completely unified as one.
In his final moments before being arrested, Jesus prayed passionately for our unity. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, this is the Passion Translation, Jesus prayed, "And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through this, through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me."
Let's pray that right now. God, I pray for unity in this community of believers so that Dallas will recognize, so that McKinney will recognize, so that we will recognize each other, that we will discover unity in our hearts, that out of love for one another, we pursue the same goals. We're different people. We have different perspectives. We come at each situation with our own life experience. Some of us are black. Some of us are white. Some of us are Hispanic. Some of us are Asian. But we all come with our own life experience to you, to the throne, with like hearts. But God, it's only by your Spirit that we can become one. So as Jesus prayed, make them one. God, I pray today, make us one. The only way we can do this is through the Spirit of unity. The only way we can survive as a church is through unity. We can't just go through the motions, sing a list of songs, try to have some kind of devotional. All of that's good, but we must be unified in our hearts.
I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul wrote, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So I want us to, because we can talk about unity, and I believe we all desire unity, but I want to mention just some practical ways that we can protect unity. And so here's one of them. Focus on what we have in common rather than our differences. As believers, we share one Lord, one body, one purpose, one Father, one Spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and one love. We share the same salvation, the same life, and the same future. These factors are far more important than any of our differences. Would you agree?
Yeah.
These are the issues, not our personal differences, that we should concentrate on. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification." I want to talk about not criticizing, but encouraging. Let's choose to encourage rather than to criticize. Anybody can see the negative. You know, that's what I love about prophecy, is prophecy really speaks to your potential and calls out the gold inside of you. Anybody can see the mess. But let's choose to encourage rather than criticize. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says,
"You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." Whenever I judge another believer, four things instantly happen. I lose fellowship with God.
Wow.
When I judge another believer, I lose fellowship with God. I expose my own pride and insecurity. I set myself up to be judged by God. I harm the fellowship of the church. A critical spirit is very costly.
Yeah. So, and here's another way we can protect the unity. Refuse to listen to gossip. Does gossip happen at Dwell Church? Well, there are people here, and there are humans here. So, yes, gossip. Gossip happens at Dwell Church. Refuse to listen to gossip. Gossip is passing on information when we are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. I'm going to say that again for those of you who need a little reiteration of the definition, in case you just think you're just being an ear for somebody to unload their stuff. Gossip is passing on information when we are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. We know spreading gossip is wrong, but we should not listen to it either if we want to protect our church. People who gossip to you will probably gossip about you.
Look, I want to give you permission to do something in this house. Okay, let's just say Steve Lyman is upset with me. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say. I did something. I didn't mean to do it, but I did. I might even meant to do it. To do what I did, but I didn't know it was going to hurt him.
Right.
And so Steve is going to go to John. Brother John, I'm upset. This happened, and I just feel like I need to tell you. So John, what I want you to do, if that ever happens, I want you to grab him by the arm that moment. If I'm in the building, drag him to me and say, hey, David, I was just talking to Steve, and this is what happened. And I will tell you, I promise you, I commit to you that I will apologize immediately. I will say, Steve, my relationship with you is more important than my opinion.
Yeah.
We have to be connected.
Yeah.
Who does Sunita think she is? Who does she think she is? Y'all, you see her? You watch her worship? She just acts like whatever. Oh, is that what you think? Well, let's go over and talk to her.
Yeah.
Sunita, I want to encourage you. Here's what'll happen. It'll create a culture that people will be afraid to say anything negative. I don't want to allow it to go on for a day. If we allow it to stay, it will grow. I think you may have cut that just a little too short. And it offends me, but I just wanted to get it out there. Are you with me? Are you with me? Will you commit to do that? Will you commit to silence a gossipy spirit? You know, it just happens. It's not like people do it with the evil intent. They don't mean to. They're lured by it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know what? The enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. So if he can get you to accuse your brother or your sister, man, you're doing his work for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Where are we?
We're right here.
Okay.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4 in the Message says, evil people relish malicious conversation. The ears of liars itch for dirty gossip. Paul warned about cannibal Christians who devour one another and destroy the fellowship. The Bible says these kinds of troublemakers should be avoided. So let's not be one. Let's not be one.
1 Corinthians 1 and 10, NIV. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Yeah.
Matthew 5 and 9, read that back.
Matthew 5 and 9 in the Message says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.